Welcome, everybody, to the When Hard Work Beats Talent podcast. Today, we have a special guest going back to the OU alum. We didn't venture far out. We went OU with KJ Kindler, then Oklahoma State with Teague Moore, and now back to OU with one Olivia Trautman. Olivia comes to us, and we're ecstatic to have the former All-American national champ, all-around awesome gymnast, and even better human being. So thank you, Olivia, for taking the time to visit with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So with every podcast, no matter who it is, we always start out with a rapid-fire question. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
All righty. What is one hidden talent you have?
Oh, gosh. Hidden talent. I would say, I feel like I don't really have a big hidden talent, but throughout my time at OU, I spent a lot of time in the pool. So I'd say I'm pretty good at swimming, actually. I was in, like, my parents put me in swim class when I was little. So, like, I learned how to swim then, and I loved it. And then when I had to be in the pool a lot at OU, that's kind of one of my hidden talents, I would say. But if I could have a hidden talent that was, like, actually kind of cool, I'd probably be to, like, sing or something like that.
Ooh, that would be – how about playing an instrument?
Or that, too, like the guitar. Like, that'd be so cool.
That would be cool. I always was upset growing up because my mom made us all play instruments. But at that time, I was playing the piano, and at that time, I'll never tell my mom she was right in this. But I do regret the fact that I did quit, and I can't play a lick of any instrument now. I think that would be cool.
It would be. It would be really cool.
Well, the next question is, where is one place that you've been that you never want to go back to?
Oh, goodness.
If you say Texas, we're in the recording right now.
No, it's not Texas. I've been on so many, like, good trips, like, family vacations, like, out of the country that I've all, like, liked. But probably one place that I never want to go back is my first year Level 10 Nationals was in Jackson, Mississippi. And that place was, I was young, I was like 13 years old, and that place was a little bit sketchy. And so that's probably one place I'll never go back. Obviously, the meet was great, but the outside part of it, there was a lot of homeless people, and it was a little bit scary when I was so little, so I probably will never go back there if I don't have to.
Well, that's a good thing you don't have to.
Yeah,
it's part, part of my territory. I'm there every now and again, so yes, I understand. Yeah. It's not... For me personally, it's not that bad just because I'm going to business, and I totally get it.
Yeah.
But it, like the heat, the humidity in the summertime, man, there's something different about the South.
Yeah, for real.
And so, okay, what is your guilty pleasure?
I would say, does chocolate or ice cream count? That's probably
totally.
That's definitely it. Like a sweet tooth. I definitely have a sweet tooth, but that's probably that. For, like, food-wise, I mean, it's always good. It always heals, like, the mood or whatever. Probably also, like, online shopping. So easy nowadays. Like, you can just be laying in bed or, like, doing whatever you want, and you can just – it pops up on an ad on Instagram or something. It's so easy to do it. So that's probably something that gets me.
Yeah. What's the – if you had a go-to chocolate or ice cream, what would it be?
Chocolate, I would say Reese's peanut butter cups. Those are pretty good. And ice cream, I would probably go mint chocolate chip if I had to pick.
Interesting. Yeah. You and my youngest, he's 11 and he loves mint chocolate chip ice cream, which
so good.
No one else in our family likes it, but he does. That's his deal.
Mint chocolate chip's pretty amazing. Like those little Andes mints.
Yeah. I mean, I like all ice cream, but that's probably my fave.
Well, who's the most surprising person to have an impact on your life?
Surprising. I mean, there's so many people that have impacted my life, like my family, KJ, and obviously the whole coaching staff. So surprising. Honestly, I feel like this isn't really that surprising, but Jen Richardson, our trainer, she was the backbone to my career. I mean, I faced so many like injuries, and she just had a plan the whole entire time and like believed in me every step of the way. When I was facing all the high moments and all the struggles, she was one person that definitely impacted my life for the better and made me stay in one piece for my career. So she's probably like one person that not a lot of people would know, but to me it was super important.
Yeah, Trainer Jen, she's amazing. She's really good at what she does. And so what I love about her is the fact that she's very caring about the athletes, and she takes pride in making sure that all of you, no matter who it is, gets the best care, even if you have to hold out for one meet or a
Yeah.
couple weeks, that you are in tip-top shape.
Yeah, for sure. She's great.
All righty, last thing. What is, and I think I know the answer to this, so we will see.
Okay.
What is the hardest thing you have had to overcome?
Definitely my fifth year. What I went through my fifth year. Obviously I faced injury throughout my career at OU, but my fifth year in injury was the second time I tore my patellar tendon. And that's before I got surgery, they suggested that medically retiring was probably the best option for me. And honestly, that moment like was so hard. Like it's all going good, and then they tell you you can't do something. It's something I've done for my whole entire life. So when that got taken away, that was probably the hardest thing that I had to deal with emotionally and mentally and also physically. But then kind of going through what the new life would look like. I was gonna student coach. But then finally getting that surgery and realizing like I don't want to be done. Like I feel like I can come back. I want to have one more shot. And just honestly like taking it in for myself and having to ask the doctors, having to talk many conversations with KJ and Jen and figuring out like the best plan for me was probably the most proud thing of something I'm so super proud of, obviously, because the year ended up being great. But that moment in there when they told me I had to be done was probably the hardest thing that I had to go through. And then also in that moment, like telling the team that my time was coming to an end was super hard for me because I felt like I was letting people down and I didn't want to disappoint anybody. But obviously they all understood. But at the end of the day, like I love the sport and I love those girls and I wanted to come back and do it one more time.
When you were in that meeting with the doctors and they said, okay, it's come town, you probably should medically retire. What was the first thing that went through your mind? And then how long did you transition that, oh crap, thought process, this is really the end, to, well, forget that, I want to really get back at it?
Yeah, I mean, so actually what happened was Jen ended up coming to my house to tell me. KJ and the coaches had already known. My parents already knew. So she actually came to my house and we had a face-to-face conversation, and that was tough just because she sat me down, she told me what was going on with my knee, and I was just like, okay, like what's the timeline? Like I can do it, I've done it before. And then when she kind of started tearing up and just like looking at me like this is going to be the end, and then her finally just saying like I don't think gymnastics is in the picture anymore, that's when I truly was like there's no way. Like I just was staring at her like I'm honestly like in shock. And then like after a little bit I just started crying just because like there's no other emotion like you can give when something like that gets told to you. And so it was rough for a couple of days for sure. I was leaning on my teammates, my family, everybody kind of knew what was going on. So it wasn't probably till like a week after that it actually like hit me that this was it, because I was like not training with the girls, I wasn't going to morning conditioning, I was just kind of trying to figure out what life was going to look like without the sport. But then when I got surgery in October, it was about 10 days later, and I was talking to Carrie, my best friend, talking to some of the girls, and I was like, I feel like I can come back. And like it kind of was like in my gut, in my heart that I wanted to do it. And so I ended up talking to KJ, talking to Jen, like, Jen, like what would happen if I tried to come back, even if it's just bars? And she's like, we're gonna have to have that conversation with the doctor. And so went to my like 10-day follow-up, and he was like, everything looks great. And John was like, all right, oh, you have to ask the question. And so I kind of just was like, so what would happen if I tried to come back? And obviously he was hesitant at first because he promised me and my family that I was going to be able to live a healthy life past gymnastics, that I was going to be able to walk down the aisle, all the basic things to life. And so he basically told me that there was going to be no limitations, but no expectations for what was going to happen. We're going to take it day by day. We're not going to progress you forward faster than you should be going. And so for me, like that was the win that I needed because I knew I could put in everything that I could and would have no regrets whether I was able to compete again or wasn't able to compete again. I knew like I fully tried my 100% in that. So that moment was amazing because I was like, all right, like I'm going, like this is it. So that was definitely the moments that I'll remember.
Nice. Now, how in that time frame there, season didn't start until really January of that year. When did you come back for that first meet?
So my first meet was the end of January, which was pretty soon because they had me on a 6 month time track, and so I got surgery in October, and so it was supposed to be like March-ish. But I was feeling good. I was ahead of recovery, was doing everything that I could, and had to end up asking the doctor if I can do bars and beam and vault and all that stuff. So I actually started beam first, and it was at Denver. My parents weren't even there. I wasn't even supposed to go. I was just warming up, and then some things happened, and I ended up getting thrown in there in the fifth spot. And like that is a moment I'll remember forever. Just staking that dismount and like going up to Jen and giving her like the biggest hug, and like the team's like screaming, and I'm like, I don't even know what to feel because I'm not supposed to be doing this. That was amazing, but it was about the end of January when I first came
And
back.
then when were did you start vaulting? Because that year you stuck a vault cold at Nationals.
I started vaulting in February, so it was about a couple weeks later. That's when I first started vaulting, and I actually stuck the first vault that I did, and I was like starstruck at my own self. Like, how did I just do that? Because like I wasn't doing a lot of numbers before then, I wasn't doing a lot of reps, and so just to be able to do that and feel all those emotions was amazing. And then obviously I did vault all the way through until nationals.
And then national champ.
Oh, go ahead.
It was Wes, you weren't there. You don't understand, but it was awesome.
No,
Thank you.
what I was going to follow up on that though is, do you think that all this training, all this time and effort that you put in had a result in this happening because you trusted yourself and your all the hard work you put in to get to that point that it made it, you're like, listen, I've done this before, I've done it a million times, I can do this? Or is you just think it was like you just went with it and it happened?
Definitely was the hard work. Obviously, like at the beginning stages, I was celebrating the small wins of walking without pain, doing the basic rehab without pain, and like all those moments of doing the littlest rehab, the littlest swimming in the pool to get extra cardio in, doing more conditioning that was asked, like definitely made those moments happen at the end. Because for me, I truly felt like if I was giving my 100% every single day, no matter what it looked like, that at the end of the day, it was gonna pay off for myself. And then also to that, like being a leader for the team, because I knew I couldn't do it physically, like to be that vocal leader and to help them chase the dream when I fully couldn't do it myself was something that was super important to me. And so just kind of all those little things definitely added up to the big picture at the end. And I had learned throughout my career, because I've been injured before, that it was going to pay off. I've seen that reward. And so I kind of was on a track like that and knew that this is my last year and I had to give it my all every single day to have the moments that I wanted to have at the end of my career.
Well, we've mentioned on the podcast before. I have two young, I say, well, they're teen and preteen now, boys, and they play sports. We don't have really expectations for them to go play at collegiate level if they are good enough and they can make it, great. If they can't, no big deal. But we tell them before they do everything. My youngest had soccer practice today, and we were talking about it before we dropped him off. I said, what are the two things you can control? He's like, Dad, you say this every time. And I said, you're right, because I'm trying to hammer it home. The two things you can control in life are your effort and your attitude. If you have
100
great
percent.
effort and great attitude, the performance will follow. But if you have a bad attitude and you put a bad effort up, your performance will be terrible. So control the controllables, and everything else will work itself out.
I agree 100%. And that's something that my parents instilled in me when I was younger, was definitely to have that positive attitude no matter what I'm going through. And at the time, like I was little, I was kind of like your son, like, oh yeah, dad, whatever you say. But like honestly, like that was probably the biggest piece of advice like I've been given, because I would have never imagined my college career to be what it was. And for me to like have that backbone of being positive and being that person, like I felt like it made the healing like faster and easier, and my mind was always good. Obviously, I had those hard days, don't get me wrong, but like overall, that definitely helped. And then again, giving 100% every day and what I was doing helped as well.
Why
That's awesome.
gymnastics?
Why gymnastics?
Why did you pick gymnastics as your avenue for competition and trying to grow and get better?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I love the sport. When I was little, my parents put me in all the sports. I did soccer, I did softball, basketball, dance, swimming, like I mentioned, gym, of course. The gymnastics gym that I actually went to was about 10 minutes from my house, so my parents kind of just put me in it. When I was two, doing like the mommy and me classes. I was still doing all the sports because I loved everything. I loved being like with my friends, being on a team. And so I tried to do as many as I could for as long as possible. I stuck with soccer and gym for till I was about like 11, which doesn't seem that old, but when you're get like good at gym, like it's hard to do both. And so I would go to gymnastics and then I would run to a soccer game and like my cleats straight out of the gym because it was something that I loved and my parents wanted to keep me going as long as I could. But at the end of the day, like when I had to pick, I ended up picking gymnastics just because of the love that I had for it and the will that I wanted to get better. And I was obviously looking up to so many of the girls at my gym. And I just wanted to be like them. And so that's what kept me going.
Let's talk about growing up in Minnesota. How was it? Cold weathers, the beautiful summers, and cold weather and
Cold
cold.
weather. I mean, it was definitely cold in the winter, don't get me wrong. But we had so much fun when I was little. We had a pond in our backyard, so we'd go like ice skating, and we had hills too. So my dad would make these huge sledding hills that we'd go down in the winter. Of course, that was when I was young and able to do that after gym and stuff. So that was a lot of fun. And obviously, the winter or the summers are great. We had a boat, so we were always on the lake. We were always with friends. We'd always be going to lake houses. But the falls and the springs are also great too, just because in the fall you have the leaves changing colors, which is awesome. And in the spring it's about to be summer, so it's good. But the winter is definitely cold.
You're the second person from the state of Minnesota on this podcast, and you both said the same thing.
Freezing.
It's freezing,
Winter
but
mild here compared to there.
pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. So on the gymnastics, growing up, you're 2 years old, mommy and me, going through the levels. At what point did you and your parents, or did you start thinking, all righty, I'm pretty good at this. I think this could be something that I want to do in college. At what point was that in your young gymnastics career?
Yeah, honestly, like when I was obviously super little, I had no idea what college gymnastics was. I was like every little girl, want to go to the Olympics, like this and that. And then I was about 12 years old when my coach asked me to try like elite. And I honestly had no idea what that was. They're like, we're going to start you on some extra training. We're going to start you on these different types of routines. And I was super young. So I was like, yes, I love gymnastics, all this stuff. And so I ended up starting going to the ranch. And then I was doing Hopes Elite. And then I did Junior Elite all the way through Senior Elite. But it was probably when I was about in seventh, eighth grade when I got my first college letter. And I had brought it home to my mom because I had no idea what it was. And I like handed it to her and she was like, what is this? Like basically like, no way my kid is getting college like recruiting mail already. And so I like handed it to her and she like, and then I kept getting them. And so that's when I kind of realized like, oh, okay. And like obviously I would see the college coaches come into the gym and I was that little girl. I was like, I'm gonna do all these big skills for them. Like I'm gonna do all this stuff. Cause I was like the youngest in the group that I was training in. And so it was just like fun to be around that and try to mock skills that the older girls were doing. And then I started going on like all my recruiting visits when I was in ninth grade and ended up committing to OU the middle of my ninth grade year, which was a dream come true, obviously. But kind of that was like the route when I kind of realized like, okay, like you're pretty good. And so around that age when I did like elite transitioning into like beginning of high school.
Sweet. Now, did you, when you're going through your college visits, of course, it's probably different nowadays on visits, but did you always want to go to OU, or did you have your top three, top four, take your visits, and then OU was just that one school that you're like, yeah, that's definitely it.
Yeah, I mean, I knew Maggie was obviously going to OU, so that was one of the schools that I wanted to visit. I visited four schools. I visited Nebraska, Georgia, UCLA, and OU. And honestly, every visit I went on was so much fun. Like, they treat you like you're the little like princess over there. And so it was so much like fun going on these visits. And every visit I came home from, I was like, I love it. And so OU was my last visit. And I remember going on the visit, and like the minute I stepped on campus, the minute I met KJ and the whole staff, I kind of had a feeling like in my gut that like this is where I'm supposed to go. And so went through my whole visit, had like the time of my life. Actually got to see a competition on my visit, which was really cool. It was in January. So that was a lot of fun. And then I remember being in the hotel that night, and I like told my parents, I was like, I'm going to Oklahoma. And my mom was like, of course was supporting me, but she's like, we need to make sure, like, we did like a whole pros and cons list. And I was like, Mom, I know I'm going to Oklahoma. And so I waited till like about April-ish, because the rules were different then. You didn't have to commit right on the spot. Had a couple of USA competitions that I went to in between then and there, but the whole time I knew I was going to OU. And there's pictures of me and Maggie Nichols like standing in our little USA Leos doing like OUs, and I'm like so little compared to her. But I knew right after that visit that I was gonna go there, because it just felt like home, and it felt like the place that I could become the best gymnast and best person that I could be.
No.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
You mentioned injuries, and it being an athlete, that's just something that's a really a reality of playing sports. There's the possibility you could get hurt. There's some that get lucky enough that never face it. And it's a piece of adversity that some good athletes have to go and get past. So what was one of the hardest points after one of your injuries during the recovery process? Was there a point like, okay, I just can't do this anymore? Or was there any time where like, okay, I can do this. I'll be fine. Let's just push through. Because I mean, personally, I blew out my ACL and recently did it again, and so I get to have knee replacement, and I am dreading the recovery process just because first off, I hate knives and I hate needles. So, but it's just like I'm already psyching myself up that I gotta get through it. So I'm just trying to get understand you and what you had to go through.
Well, actually, my dad had knee replacement like last year, and he was good. So you got that. You got it.
No.
But for me, like my sophomore year, when I experienced my first injury, that was to my heel. So I'd had two injuries to my heel and two injuries to my knee, all in the same leg. So the first time I had that setback in my sophomore year, I remember sitting down with KJ, and she was like, you need to do whatever you can, because when you're ready and your name gets called upon, you don't want to have any regrets. You want to be that person that when we call on you, you're ready to go. And so for me, that I took that to heart, because I was like, okay, like I want to compete. I love gymnastics. It's something that I wanted to do. And so throughout my times, probably my sophomore year, my junior year, my senior year, I always knew I was going to come back. Like, I always knew that was going to the step for me. Like, I was going to come back that year. I wanted to compete. I didn't want to have regrets. And that's exactly what I did. And so the hardest part probably for me was the fifth year thing again, when they actually told me I wasn't able to come back, because I was like, I'm not that person. Like, I'm always the person that I want to finish the task. Like, I want to do this. It's like, it's in me. And so when they told me I wasn't allowed to, that's when I definitely struggled the most, mentally, because I was like, I don't even know like what I'm supposed to do now. Like, I'm not ready to move on. I'm not ready to do this and that. But obviously, like, having that, it was about like a 6 to 8 week time period where I wasn't doing any gymnastics. That was probably like the hardest for me. But then obviously coming back was super rewarding. Obviously, again, it had its moments, it had its hard times, but that's probably the biggest thing there for me.
After your surgery, when you came back and you were cleared by the doctors on that fifth year, did you feel stronger in your gymnastics than you did previously? Or did you feel like, okay, I'm still good, but I might have lost a little strength?
Honestly, I mean, it's that whole left leg. So it's kind of been beat up a little bit. And so obviously it's not going to be as strong as my other leg, but I did all the sports science stuff. So I got fully tested on my running and jumping and making sure it was as equal as we could get to go. And so honestly, that fifth year, personally, I felt the best, just because it was my last year. This is all I could give was the now. And so I felt really good in myself and was confident in what I was doing. And I feel like that helped my gymnastics, and it also like helped me feel good about my knees. So honestly, that last year was probably the most confident and well-rounded year I felt like I had. Obviously, I had that setback and stuff, but like in my heart, I felt really good about what I was doing. And so that year was probably definitely really special.
Wait.
Yeah.
Well, you did awesome that year.
Yeah,
That's for
thank
sure.
you. Thank you so
Tell
much.
us about Olivia. What do you like to do? Your hobbies, interests. Tell the listener that all they may know is gymnastics. What about you?
So some hobbies. Let's see. Obviously, I love hanging out with my friends. Definitely a big people person. I like to go shopping. I like to lay by the pool. I honestly have like an obsession with Nike tennis shoes, so that also is something that's interesting. I love shoes,
That would be Wes.
so it's definitely it's a problem. Yeah, Jordans. Yeah, I have a couple pairs of those. So that's definitely something that
Shoot, I got
interests
a
me.
cool
Which
pair. Right up
also,
there.
let me
Right
see.
up here.
Oh yeah,
This
the
shoe,
goal.
I literally tried this shoe on just to see how it felt. So for those not seeing it, I think this is an Air Max, Nike Air Max.
Says Oklahoma Sooners in gold.
Yes, it's all gold. It's really cool shoe. But it's super comfortable, but I'll just never wear this shoe.
I think you should wear them. Rock the sparkle.
Oh, Olivia, I got a picture that I did it
He can
today. I
rock the
tried it on.
sparkle. There's no doubt he can rock the sparkle. That's who he is.
Oh, I would rock it.
Okay, let's
That's for
rock
sure.
it. We should
We
rock
can
it.
do it. We can do
We're gonna
it.
at a meet, we're gonna rock them.
Meet, okay, when we're on the floor, we're gonna do it.
Okay, deal.
All righty.
I have them
All right.
too, so we're doing it.
Sweet.
Did
We'll
you
get
at
it done.
school, did you stay in Norman? Did you are in the Oklahoma area?
So I have one more year of my master's program that I'm doing right now. And I'll graduate in May of 25. And so we'll see what happens from then there. I want to coach. And so that kind of opens the opportunity and the door for different states, obviously. I do really like Oklahoma, but that's a career path that I'm wanting to go down as of right now. And so that will definitely change where I'm located. But I do have one more year here.
Are you working on your master's in business administration, a science, arts? What are you working your master's in?
I'm actually getting it in athletic administration. So it
Okay.
kind of goes right down that path and
Cool.
also like the business side of things. I got my undergrad degree in health and exercise science, thinking I wanted to be a PT, but then when I was kind of faced with some injuries and saw the different side of the sport and what I kind of went through, the coaching door was something that I really wanted to go into. And so that's why I chose this master's program.
It makes total sense. Somebody who's competed at the highest level, has success at the highest level, would want to give back and find ways to nurture and bring along the next generation of athletes to kind of give them your perspective on what you went through and the fact that you had to deal with injuries, not just one, but multiple injuries that required surgery. You can have
Yeah.
this like, listen, you can do hard things and it's not going to be easy, but you can do them and get through them and face that adversity and have success. So that would be a really
Yes,
good story that you can
100%.
use when you start recruiting.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely. And then this past year I student coached, so I got to see like the other side to the sport that I hadn't really seen as much, which is like the business, the recruiting, all the little things that go in to making the program turn and the wheels go right. And so that was definitely eye-opening and great experience for me.
Great.
And now, Wes, she's actually the Team 10 social media director.
This
Hey,
is
you got
true.
some help.
It's awesome, right?
Well,
And so,
I mentioned this the first podcast we did. How is it having an OSU guy lead OU thing? Like, is that a conflict of interest? It seems like there's some like a tug and pull there.
mean, not really a
Trashy
conflict of
Chris and
interest.
Trashy Fox.
She does. She is. She's like, wait, what? He's from
What?
OSU?
Well, look, you can see a picture of orange behind you. You see that right
Right
there over
there.
his shoulder.
OSU. I mean, I didn't grow up here. And so, like, obviously, I love OU. But, like, if I meet people from OSU, I'm not gonna, like, hate them or anything. But, like, if it's OU, OSU, like, going at a game, of course, I'm gonna choose OU. But I feel like my
Oops.
rival's different because I'm not from here. So it's, like, not as, like, in my, like, soul. Does that make sense?
No, totally
Yeah,
makes
that
sense.
was a very PC way to answer that.
That's
Good
it.
job.
I was setting you up for a burn right there, and you just
I
totally
know.
jumped. You did a great job. It's a great way to dance around now. You did good.
That was
Thanks.
brilliant.
You'll be
You're
a
gonna be
great
a great college coach, okay?
Yeah. You can answer the
Thanks.
question without answering the question. Good job. You've got
Oh,
you've got a
gosh. Well,
career.
to be fair, OSU does not have gymnastics.
It's
This is
true.
true.
It's true.
This is true.
It's not
If
like
they
we're
did,
talking.
then there'd probably be a stronger like competition going on then.
Good word to use is
Don't
disdain. Disdain for women.
Well,
It's
and
healthy. It's healthy. It's okay.
it'd be like,
But
oh, Texas too. Like if Texas had
exactly.
gymnastics, it would be like the same thing, like
No,
a lot of
totally.
competition.
There'd be a lot of competition, but there is only one KJ Lou and Tom and Jen.
This is true. 100%. 100%.
So just saying.
I know.
But so the title of the podcast is When Hard Work Beats Talent. So every podcast we get to this question, half an hour into it, right? So
There.
Wes and I have always had this conversation, and we continue to have it, that in sports, in life, in business, no matter what it is, you always see that one person. That one person that you're like, oh my gosh, they got so much talent. But if they would apply themselves, they'd be unstoppable. What is your story of seeing somebody like that, or how does that translate into your world now as done with gymnastics and moving forward and wanting to coach in life?
Yeah, for sure. One person that probably comes to mind like right away that I've seen throughout my career is probably Carly Woodard. She was a sophomore when I got to OU, and like the way like she goes about her gymnastics and the way that she moved through the gym, she was definitely like one of the top hardest workers. Like you would look at her and you would be motivated. Like that was her. And she just to going from like not competing and then competing at the end. And competing throughout her time at OU was super inspiring to like watch and be a part of. So that's like the first person that came to mind for that. But also like for me, like growing up, probably Maggie Nichols. I mean, I looked up to her like the whole time I was at TCT, and then obviously going to OU. I mean, she's gone through so much in her career, and she's accomplished so much. And so for her, like she's talented, don't get me wrong, but the hard work that she put into becoming the best that she could be was something that I aspired to be like. I would watch her and I would try to do the same reps as her. I would try to copy her. I'd try to mimic her the way that she would land something when I was little. And she would do a skill and I would want to do a skill right after her. And so for me, she definitely like impacted my life on how she moved throughout her life and what she's overcome and how she's handled herself through everything that she's gone through. And to this day, we're the bestest of friends. Obviously, we came to OU together. And then for me personally, obviously, I'm going to take everything that I've learned at OU, everything that I personally have learned, everything I've gone through with the team, from those early morning workouts when at 6 a.m. when you don't really want to be there, but you know it's going to make you better, to for me doing the extra rehab that I had to do, making sure I was eating and sleeping the perfect amount is something that I grew a lot through. Like I became a better person through all of that. And so just moving on to the next chapter is probably for me just doing above and beyond because I've been doing that and I know that will take you far just because I've seen it in my own life, I've seen it in other people's lives, and I want to instill that in other people going forward. Because again, like y'all were saying, like hard work does take you far and it will continue to take you far no matter how long you do it.
What's one thing that when you got to college, you looked around and went, oh, wow, this is way different than I've ever done or I've ever been around or ever seen before? Was there ever like this oh no moment or like a wow moment that you had when you got to college? They said, the reason I bring it up is like the example you always hear of college athlete or high school athletes to college athletes, professional athletes is the speed of the game, like in football or basketball or baseball, it's just a little bit faster because you go from being the best one in your area to being one of whatever, or then the next level, you're the best of the best again. And so was there a moment for you when you got there, like, oh goodness, this is different?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you walk into a gym and every single person is amazing. Like, you're getting pushed to the next standard. You see the people right next to you are doing the exact same as you, where maybe at your club gym you were one of the best or you were only working among a couple. And so obviously coming to school and coming to Oklahoma where you're being trained under the best and also being surrounded by the best was makes you like personally better. And then honestly, like the team atmosphere too, like I had that a little bit in club and through my elite days, but coming to OU and knowing that every single girl right next to me like will have my back, and at the end of the day we get to compete for a national championship is a feeling like no other. So that was kind of like a wow moment. Honestly, the first time we won, I was like, wow, like we just did that. Like, obviously, you have dreams of that since I was little, but to actually be able to do it and like accomplish that with like the people you've grinded with and you've gone through those hard times, but also had so many successes with is something that you can't even put into words. And like, I hope that I can get people to experience that because it is an amazing feeling and something that will change your life for the better.
Awesome.
What was the first year that you the team won for you?
So
Was it
my
your
freshman,
freshman year?
yeah, 2019 was the first
2019.
year that I won, and then 2020 was COVID, obviously, and then we got runner up in 21, and then 22
Yep.
and 23 we won. So,
Nice.
yeah.
Nice. Oh, that
Yeah.
2020 COVID year, that team was good.
Yeah, we were pretty good. I'll say
That
that.
team was really good.
Yeah.
And so what so you want to coach
Yes.
in your career. You've been around a lot of top high level coaches.
Yeah.
Coming to mind, KJ Lou and Tom, right?
Yeah.
Best of the best.
Best of the
But you've
best.
always also seen your club coaches. What do you think your coaching style will be?
Style. I mean, obviously, like you said, KJ, Tom, Lou, Ash, Jen, honestly, they are the best of the best. They've been doing it the longest all together. They have a philosophy, they have the program that they stick to, and it does truly produce some of the best athletes and the best people in the country. Obviously, I've seen my club coaches. They've produced a lot of amazing gymnasts and a lot of D1 athletes, a lot of elite Olympian world-class athletes. And so kind of being all around that, like obviously I know the level that it's going to take to be successful. Obviously, it'll be different as I start because I'm like a little bit younger. I'll have to get used to like kind of doing stuff on my own. But KJ and all of them are definitely very technical. They stick to the technique. They know exactly the way they want it to look, and they're not going to settle really until it's like that. And obviously every gymnast is a little bit different, but definitely like want to be technical, but also want to be like a coach that's going to inspire them to become a better athlete, but also like a better person in life. And that is something that I've really learned through KJ, is that she not only cares about like the athlete you're becoming, but also the person. And I want to do that. Obviously, I want to do that to the best of my ability going forward. And obviously, my goal would be to win a national championship as a coach. That would be amazing. But probably like technical, personable, kind of a go-getter, and go from there, obviously.
Nice. So, are you, is the next step after you graduate to go try to apply and get some college coaching jobs elsewhere on a staff? Or are you gonna try to go the club route for a little
Yeah,
bit and then
definitely.
see what opens up? What's that ultimate plan there?
Yeah, so I'm gonna graduate in 2025, and hopefully again apply for those jobs, the opening positions. Obviously, we don't know because it kind of changes throughout the year. So probably after April is when we see like most of the openings come along, and then I'll apply to the ones that obviously have the best fit for me, and then I'll go from there. And then that is definitely the next step in that process.
Nice. So you're ready. So ultimate goal, if you could look at it right now, crystal ball, 15, 20 years from now, are you the head coach at OU?
At OU. Oh gosh.
And I'm assuming KJ Lou, Tom, Ash, and Jen are retired.
Okay. I mean, it would be cool, obviously, to coach at where you what we're an athlete at, just like a full circle moment, 100%. But honestly, I mean, yeah, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. But I just want to go somewhere where I'll have like a strong staff by me, and that we can accomplish the dreams that we set out to accomplish at the end of the day.
Nice.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You're already thinking like a coach, man. Politically correct all the time.
Thank you.
Dodging questions, answering them with.
I did answer. I
I
said it would be
like it.
cool.
Yeah, I like it, Olivia. I like it a
Thanks.
lot.
Thanks.
And so you're taking your master's right now. What does that look like? Because I know we've had the discussion to where in your master's and at your GA spot right now, it's pretty unique, and it sounds pretty interesting, of what that program is. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, for sure. And so, my program is a 2-year program, my master's program, and I have class twice to three times a week at night, just about like an hour and a half, 2-hour class, just depending on what I'm in. And those basically are all like sports focused, collegiate focus, but also like we take administration, we take the business side of things too, but it's more geared towards college athletics. So that's like been honestly very helpful in like what I'm trying to do, what I'm trying to learn. And then last year I got the opportunity to student coach, and that was amazing. But now that my NCAA clock is officially over, this year I'll be a graduate assistant in what's called sports career pathways. And within this, I can pick different programs throughout the athletic department that I want to kind of see and be mentored through and learn through. And so I actually sat down with KJ recently, and that some of the top ones that we talked about were football recruiting, and where I can kind of see how they recruit high level athletes and their tactics on what they do, because obviously football is huge in the United States, it's huge in the NCAA, and so kind of learn that route. That will be very beneficial as I go through the future, and then we talked about kind of shadowing a SWA, so a senior women's administrator, kind of seeing the back end of stuff, the way that she communicates and the way that she goes about getting things done for our program and the meetings that she has to sit in on. We talked about fundraising, because obviously if I go to a different school and we need some type of money to do this and that, like fundraising will be huge. So I'll hopefully be able to do a little section in that. And then NIL, obviously that's huge. It's game changing in athletics right now. And so just having a little background on that knowledge and seeing how we're operating and seeing how we're dealing with different contracts and different athletes making big money. And then obviously with the new rules coming out, that will be huge too. So those are like the four main ones that I want to focus on this year. So I'll kind of rotate through with different people. We'll see if I hit all of them. It kind of just depends on what they have for availability, but that's kind of what my program is. It's more of like a mentorship program where I'm able to see different sides to the athletic department.
You
What's been
mentioned
the
NIL, and that kind of came to fruition during your time in college. What was the most drastic difference from the time when you entered college to the time that you kind of finished your competitive style or time there at OU that you saw that NIL impacted the gymnastics world?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, NIL kind of started my senior year, so it was kind of like everybody was trying to figure it out my senior year, and then it started to develop more when I was in my 5th year. Obviously, I had a lot more deals come through, companies who actually knew what they were kind of doing, how to approach it, and like I personally had an agent, so they'd help me negotiate contracts and kind of look over everything to make sure I wasn't crossing the boundaries where I was going to be like uneligible. And so they would re look through all that stuff. They would help me get deals, which that was super helpful for me. Obviously, not everybody on the team has that. A lot, some of the girls do, and that helps. But some people also do their deals on their own. But for me, that's kind of how my last year like was. And then last year, like definitely NIL and into this year has become a huge thing with the way that you have to recruit, with the way that you going about your deals, with the agents you're using. It's huge, honestly, in all of sports, not just gymnastics, in everything that you do. And so, it's definitely like developing. I'm not sure it was how the way they wanted it to go, but it is developing, and we have to change with the times. Obviously, we have to change the way that we've gone through it. But I'm thankful I had a little piece of it, but now it's definitely a little bit more crazy. And so, it's kind of just figuring out and navigating how to be an athlete in this era.
The NIL front, if you could change one or two things about NIL, what your opinion? If we've had NIL now for a few years, you've tasted it your last year, what would you change?
Probably the way that you can use like money through the transfer portal. Obviously, it's not as big for our sport, but in other sports, I feel like people are transferring more for the money instead of the like experience that you're gonna get. And for me, I'll live by the experience. I mean, I feel like that changes a person day in and day out. Obviously, money is huge too, and money talks at the end of the day. And so for me, like definitely like the experience is something that I hope younger athletes get to experience, because it is life changing, and it will change your life forever. But money is great too. So it's kind of just developing how we're gonna basically pay these athletes to also have a great experience.
So the other thing that's huge right now is the transfer portal in collegiate athletics. So it's prior to that, you could transfer, but you'd have to sit out a year. But now it's almost like you see some of these athletes, they're at four different schools in four different years. Do you think the transfer portal is, I think personally, I think it's good and I think it's fine, but I think it should be tweaked in the fact that you can't transfer 14,000 times in a collegiate career.
No, I agree, because if you're thinking from the coach's side, like you don't just want to have this great kid or this kid come in that you end up paying, and then for them just to leave the year later and go somewhere else. Like I think maybe like a once or twice you can transfer, because you want to get an athlete that's going to be loyal to you, loyal and willing to stick it out and willing to make changes as you develop through your team, and like that you kind of like sacrifice stuff for. And so I kind of agree with you. Like obviously it's a great thing. You should be able to go wherever you want, but maybe tweaking it a little bit where it's not, you can transfer 8 times throughout your career. Like you can only transfer a couple times. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's NIL and transfer portal, depending upon who you talk to, that individual may say they're ruining college athletics. But I think it's here to stay. And I think you're gonna start dealing with it as a college coach one day.
For sure.
I just don't see it going away anytime soon.
No, I agree.
Also agree with you in the experiences of an athlete probably should outweigh what a university can pay. Because if you like on our second podcast, we talked to Teague Moore, and he helps out with recruits coming in, different high schools recruits, and he always said, go where the university can, provide that, not the income, but the degree opportunities. So I would like to see that, but here we are,
I mean, there's
paying
nothing
people
we
to
can
come.
exactly. We can't change it. Like we have to change the way that we go about it. Like we have to change with the times. Obviously, it's going to be changing for forever now. Like there's going to be new rules, there's going to be new things, and it's hard to not stick to the old ways. Obviously, like being young, I got to experience the old ways, but also I kind of got to experience like the new ways. And so it's kind of just going to be how we change and adapt to what's coming, rather than, because it's never going to go back to being the same that it was. So it's kind of just figuring out and navigating how we're going to get the best athletes to come to the university.
That's right. It's adapt or die, right? I mean, if the ones that stay the same, they're going to be the ones that they're going to be easy to pick on. And basically, if they have a really good athlete, go talk to them. Listen, we're on the forefront of what's going on and changing and adapting to meet you where you can be the most successful. You can get those athletes to come to your school, and then again have the success that you want to have and win rings, right? That's in the day. That's why you do what you do, is to win championships. You don't do it to be mediocre.
Well,
Thank you, Olivia, for your time today. We definitely appreciate it. But tell the listener, where can they find you?
Where can they find me?
On the socials.
On the socials, Instagram. I mean, I have everything. At O Troutman is basically my username for everything. So if you want to follow me on the socials, I'll be there. That's basically
And
it.
you are a verified, and I told you this once when you got that blue check mark on Instagram. I said, here's the deal. You followed me, and the moment you followed me, you got that blue check mark.
It's true. It's true. I got famous because
That is really a true story.
that is. It really is. It's true
And
facts right
it goes to my ego, so I appreciate you,
there.
Olivia.
Of
Nothing
course.
needs any help. I know, Beth says that too. So, but Olivia, thank you again for coming on, talking to us a little bit about you, about gymnastics, about your career, about where you want to go. So hopefully people find you, and thank you for being the social media director for Team 10.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thanks very much. Well, everybody, we will have this posted really quickly, probably the next 24 to 48 hours. So it should drop by Friday or Saturday of the week this week. So it'll be like the 13th of July. We appreciate everybody following along. We do have social media channels as well. So go check us out on Instagram and on Facebook and then wherever you get your podcast. Everybody, thanks for listening and we'll catch you next time.